Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, your holy name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our midst and everything you're doing. And Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person here tonight. We thank you, Father, that they're precious people, Father. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of them. And Father God, we thank you that today as we go to minister your word, we thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and lives of each and every one of us. And Father, help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation, revival to this nation, revival to this world. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you that today we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, and your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. Father God, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit to give us utterance to be able to speak what you want us to speak with all boldness. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God, you may be seated. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. Hope everyone's real excited because they seem real excited. All right. Anyway, as you even know, the last couple of weeks I've been in Thailand, and so I had the unique opportunity the last 2 weeks to minister at Rhema Bible Church Thailand. And it's kind of interesting how they do a lot of things real similar than we do, except for they also speak Thai, which we don't. excuse me. But even their offering prayer, they have a similar offering prayer that they pray. They've added a few things. One of the things that they added in their offering prayer was they were thanking God for their own property, because they've been meeting in the YWCA is where the church meets. But praise God, actually not right, a little before I got there, that somebody gave them land to build a new church. And so they're excited about that. Still have to pay to build the church, but amen, it's a start. And so, but you know, it's just wonderful to be able to go around the world. And sometimes you guys really don't get a scope of how connected that we are to this world. And you know, we've said it before, we have like 211 different schools around the world and 47 nations, I believe, now. And so, like I said, we were at Thailand, Rhema Bible Church Thailand, Rhema Bible Training Center Thailand, did their graduation there and ministered on the streets. And, you know, it's just amazing to see how God operates and great things that happen. And I wasn't with the team all the time. We brought a team of 10 students and alumni from the church there. And every spring break, we always have three missions trips. And one of them actually is to the Indian reservation. And then we take one usually down to South America and one somewhere a little further away. And you're welcome to go on any of those mission trips as well. It's open to all church members, all alumni, and all students there. And so we had 10 of those students and alumni and church members that came with us, and they had a wonderful time. They had an opportunity to minister on the streets, and they ministered in some orphanages and some detention centers, you know, and just see people's life changed. And I know I wasn't with them, but they were at a location at a night crusade, and actually they're at a church that meets at some land that we have. There's a factory owner that actually owns the land, and his factory is next to where the church meets. And so that nightly crusade, the first night they didn't do this, but the second and the third night they actually, the guy who owns the factory decided that he would let his employees, if they wanted to go hear the crusade, because they had their work went till 8 p.m., he actually said the last 2 hours of work from 6 to 8, you can go over to the crusade and we'll go ahead and pay you. So they were paid to come to church. So, you know, can't beat that, you know. So obviously a lot of people who might not have otherwise came over to the meeting did so because it was probably better than their work, you know, what they had to do at work. And so many of them came. In fact, and they said one night they had 180 people that came to the Lord. Just an awesome time, you know, and many different healings took place. And, it's just incredible to see God move around the world. Another interesting opportunity and I should have brought some pictures. I didn't, but we had was one of our Rhema graduates there in Thailand is also a famous artist, and she drew a picture of the harvest field there. It was a rice field and right by it, and also had some sayings that the king of Thailand, he's actually the longest reigning monarch in the world. He's been on the throne a few years longer than Queen Elizabeth. He's actually been on the throne for 68 years. He's in his 80s and in poor health, but still alive, so to speak. I mean, he's still alive. He's actually right now in a hospital area. He had some gallbladder surgery or whatever at the end of the year and a couple other complications, and so they have built a special wing for him in the hospital area. But on this painting, they had some sayings that the king has made. Now, the king of Thailand, most obviously the main religion in Thailand is Buddhism, and so everyone pretty much probably thinks the king is a Buddhist. But many people have said that they believe the king is actually a Christian, and a lot of his sayings that he has statements he has made are almost chapter and verse is what the Bible says. And I know our leaders in Rhema Thailand says the king's a very good man and been very good toward the farmers. And so there were some sayings that he had said about the harvest and things like that that the lady put on the paintings. And then the opportunity actually arose when I was there as the this lady made a phone call that we presented that painting to the king. Now, we couldn't present it to him physically because he physically was unable to have any visitors. And so we went to the hospital and presented it to representatives there. Actually, there was a picture of the king that they had there on the lower floors and some representatives there. And so we brought this big painting. I mean, it's huge. And there's actually, he has his residence there in the hospital, and he has two other residents and some other places in the country, and he will look at that painting and he'll choose where he wants to put that in one of his residences. Also, we presented him a couple of Rhema Thailand mugs which was my idea. They gave me some Rhema Thailand mugs to take back home, and I'm like, you know what? I mean, why not present this to the king and the queen as well? So they were all wrapped up anyway, so it looked like a present. I said so we presented them to the king. And so that was a pretty cool deal. In fact, it's probably a once-in-a-lifetime honor that they said, it's not everyone has the opportunity to go and do that. And so that was a real cool thing. But it was really cool, though, that all the guards and everyone were looking at this painting. And they were really intrigued by it. So meaning that it does mean something, because I can't read the Thai script and you can't either. Evidently, they tell me, though, it's kind of a mess because there's like no punctuation or anything. So even if you can read it, it's still, trying to understand it, it's not really easy to do as well. And so, but the great thing about going to Thailand, unlike some other countries I've gone to, is everything's in English as well. And because most people can't read Thai script, so all the signs are both in English and in the Thai script. So it was pretty easy to find your way around. Now, I will say not everyone spoke English in Thailand, especially taxi drivers. None of them spoke English that I could find. Most people, and they can't read maps either. By the way, I found that out, and in fact, that was they told me, said, yeah, the taxi driver is terrible reading maps because they at the hotel they actually have a card saying where the hotel is, so that way they could give us the taxi driver, and so they could get you back to the place. And A couple of times the taxi driver looks at it and they're like, and then there's a map there too, and they could never figure it out. And, you know, better just to point which way. And so actually I did find out the one great thing about the iPhone 6 Plus is it's really big. And so I actually found, because the card was only, business card like was like this, and especially at nighttime, some of these guys couldn't read it. So I found the same thing that they actually had, and I was able to blow it up, and if you look at it on this, they could see it a lot better. So, you know, one good thing about having the iPhone overseas. But, you know, it is amazing to see what God is doing overseas, and amazing to see, you know, people healed, people's life touched. But it's also amazing to see the boldness of Christians. I mean, I know one of the young ladies who went on our trip, I mean, you know, she said, well, I'm just a first-year student here at Rhema, and, you know, don't really claim to know a whole lot. And she had the opportunity to teach a discipleship class where they had pastors that were sitting in her her class, and the pastors actually, you know, told them how much they got out of her teachings. And so, you know, it's just amazing how God can use, you know, anyone, you know, and how overseas it seems people have more boldness to minister God's word. But, you know, of course, if you turn your Bibles, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, Jesus said, he's talking to his disciples, but he's not just, actually, as we read later, it's not just for the disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He goes on to say, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those that believe. So what he's saying is, if these signs are follow those that believe, he's really talking more than just to his disciples. He's talking about to those that believe. It says, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, you know, I always take the word, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I take it literally. You know, I've had, you know, because I've had the opportunity to go into all the world, and I take that literally. But, you know, I believe that Jesus is also saying that we should go into our world. And, you know, it's interesting how when you go on a mission trip, and I encourage all of you, if you can at some point in time, to go on a mission trip and to experience that for yourself. I encourage you, those that have kids, and I know some of you have grandkids, I encourage you to help them to go on a mission trip, you know, one day in their life. You know, because I think it's especially for our younger generation, I think it's really good for them to see. It's also really good for our younger generation to see that not everybody has it as easy as they do. You know, obviously a lot of our places that they ministered didn't have air conditioning, and it's 90 degrees and muggy in Thailand. You know, the great thing about it was I'm like, you know, every day it seems like it's cloudy. It's not really sunny, so it wasn't, you know, you didn't have the sun beating down on you. Except for the guys there said, no, that Craig, that's not you know, it's not cloudy. That's called smog. You know, because we don't have all the pollution control in Thailand that you guys do, and so it's smoggy every day. Well, but the moral of the story is the sun wasn't beating down on my neck every day, but it was hot and humid. You know, and I don't mind hot weather, especially after going through some cold spells here recently. I did not have an issue as long as I had a AC in my hotel so I could go to sleep. That was all I really needed. You know, I was okay to make it throughout the day. I sweated pretty bad a couple of days, but and you know, like I said, the team that one place where they were ministering there, they actually. They didn't have AC, so they had the windows open, and they actually were, they had people that were standing around watching, and then when they had healing lines, they had people come off the street and to get healed. And so it's amazing. People are walking down the street, and all of a sudden, you know, they begin to look and see these people are getting healed, and so they came in and got healed. So it's just awesome to see that kind of thing. But, you know, it's awesome to see the boldness of people sometimes overseas as well. But, you know, sometimes I wonder why we don't have some of the same boldness in our world and why we don't have some of the same kind of attitude in our world to minister to our world. And you know, I know that I showed you that little clip, you know, from tornado relief. And unfortunately, you know, this city here, Oklahoma City, is one of the most hardest hit tornado. Probably, I think it is number one. And so one of the reasons we did show you the clip is, you know, there is a good opportunity that that we might have to be doing tornado relief in the Oklahoma City area. Also, too, once again, if your family members or some your close friends do have some, you know, are hit by one of the tornadoes, please let us know as well, because you know we don't know, you know, if we know that we can send teams to come and try to help clean their area up. You know, I know that we had a little bit of damage here and more. But praise God. I mean, you know, I know it doesn't help whenever someone's trailer house is already blown away to tell them, you know, well, it was only an F2, you know, or tell them, hey, this is Oklahoma. Why do you live in a trailer house in Oklahoma? Well, unfortunately, some of the reasons why they live in trailer houses, that's all they can afford. You know, and unfortunately, some of these people, I mean, they don't have any insurance either. And so, you know, they need someone to bring hope, help, and healing to them. You know, we do our part to do, you know, to go out there and help people. And I determined a couple of years ago that you know, in Oklahoma, I know we talk about the F5s and some of the F4s, some of the major damages, but a lot of times people don't really help out when it's not a really big tornado. But I decided, you know, in Oklahoma somewhere, someone's going to get hit. And I don't care if it's an F1, an F2, an F3, F4, or F5. There's going to be damage done. And at least that we can do our wherewithal to, you know, to try to help out as much as we can. You know, and because it's still devastating, no matter you know where it falls on the, and I guess they're not Fs anymore, they're EFs according to the, you know, the scale. It's an EF1 and EF2, and you know they determine now based on that EF, I've learned a lot about tornadoes the last few years, by the way, just been being involved in this kind of stuff, and it's all about how much damage it does, and so that's why they had a really hard time with the tornado that we had last, it was 2 years ago, you know, over here in El Reno, because they actually measured the wind speed at faster than the damage that they did. But, you know, the problem is where it hit in El Reno, it's not a problem, it actually was a good thing, that there wasn't a lot of houses to hit. You know, when it was at its greatest velocity, it wasn't hitting houses, and that was a good thing. Unfortunately, he actually had a few cars. That was not a good thing. But the fact of the matter is that you know whether a 300 mile an hour tornado hits your house or a 100 mile tornado hits your house, it's going to do damage of some sort. And you know, people need help. You know, and one way to help our world. See, our world is the world that we live in. You know, in our world, you know, sometimes we think of the world as a globe, and it is a globe. But our world is also the community that we're involved in. You know, whether it's our city, whether it's our neighborhood, or whatever. And you know, even if it's your workplace. And I believe that we have a responsibility to minister to our world. You know, and one way that we can minister to our world is doing, you know, I love the scripture that says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. First thing it says, he does good. Then it talks about, you know, preaching, teaching, and healing. But the first thing it says that Jesus did good. You know, I believe that we should take the opportunity to do good to our world. You know, if that's just be nice to people at work, that's doing good. You know, if that's trying to not have a temper or not you know, not get mad at everybody, you know, or have a bad Monday or a bad Tuesday or a bad Friday or whatever day it is, you know. And I understand we're all human. Sometimes we let our flesh out sometimes, but you know, even doing good is ask people to forgive us because we had a bad day and we maybe said some things that we didn't, or Or maybe we come home and had a bad day at work, and we come home and take it out on our kids or our wife or our husband or things like that. But, you know, I believe that we should do good to our world. You know, I believe, you know, as a follower of Christ, you know, and I don't even like to use the word follower of Christ, really, because I think the Bible says we should be like Christ. It doesn't say we should follow him, so we should be like him. I mean, you know, and I guess to follow him is to be like him. But you know, a lot of times we don't realize it's the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, but that's the same Spirit that Jesus had all the time. And it says the things that he did and greater things shall you do because he goes to the Father. And so, you know, we have an opportunity to be a light to our world, you know, to just, you know, and a lot of times too, witnessing, you know, some people think, well, as a Christian, I just need to go out and witness all the time. And I don't know that that's really the case, but I think sometimes we just need to go out and just be a, you know, a nice person. I believe that a lot of times that many times Christians, because they feel the responsibility to go out and win people toward Christ, that they actually turn people off instead of just being nice and them people and bringing people to them. You know, Jesus was nice to people, and you know, sinners came to Jesus. And I think that's where an interesting standpoint is, that sinners were intrigued about Jesus. You know, we hear the story, and many of you probably remember the little song whenever you were a kid about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. The wee little man was he, and he climbed up a sycamore tree. Anyone ever sing that in children's church? Yeah. You know, but he climbed up a sycamore tree, and Zacchaeus was a crook. But he wanted to see who this Jesus was, and he was not a very tall guy, I guess, and so he climbed up a tree in order to see Jesus. And Jesus saw him, you know, looking at him, and so Jesus came to the tree and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house." Now, you understand, this guy says, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. You know, I'm, you know, when... See, in that day and age, and I don't know if it's a whole lot different in the day and age that we live in, is that people that were sinners don't normally eat with people who are Christians. There's a segregation there for whatever reason. You know, either they think that they're not good enough, or these people think that they're too good, or whatever. I'm willing to eat with anybody, especially if you're paying. But the fact of the matter is Jesus says, "No, I want to come spend some time with you." You know, and but it all started because the sinner was interested in what Jesus was doing. See, something caused him to come to Jesus. And I believe that was, you know, one of the things that caused people to come to Jesus was the healings. And that's one thing that we talked about with the team, and we made sure we had one gentleman that always did the closing there. We talked to him and said, you know, always, you know, especially when we're over, you know, overseas or probably any special meeting where people are coming in, said, always have a healing service before you actually give the altar call. Because, see, when people start seeing people's being healed, especially, if they themselves get healed, or if they knew that person, they know them personally. And in fact, that's why we had some people come back to the crusade the next day, because some of their friends got healed the night before. That, you know, they want to know who this God is and why, once they get healed, then they're more interested. And a lot of times, if we would just be nice to people, you know, we've had opportunities. But, you know, the Bible says that believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you know, have you ever thought about, you know, when your coworker says they have a headache, said, you know what, do you mind if I pray for you? I mean, you ever thought about that? I mean, because most people in America today, most of them, you know, most people say they're Christians, and most Christians do believe in healing. And so, you know, I don't think it would be out of the ordinary to pray for somebody. I mean, in fact, I mean, you know, you and I both have people, you know, friends on our social network, Facebook or whatever, and you know that they're probably marginal Christians, but whenever they have things they're going through, they usually go on there and say, hey, can you guys pray for me? I mean, anyone have, you know, people that you don't even, some people you didn't know that they were even a Christian, and you know, or you go, like, I don't know if they've ever gone to church. I've known that guy for 50 years. I don't think they've ever darkened the door of a church. But whenever their family going through an issue, they ask for prayer. Because, you know, in America, most people believe in prayer. So how would it hurt? I mean, would it really hurt for someone, you know, saying, hey, you know, maybe they're at work, maybe they have a headache, maybe they have a cold, you know, maybe they're sniffling, maybe they're saying, hey, my stomach's, you know, hurting or whatever. I mean, would it hurt to say, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? You know, you can even read them the scripture where it says that believers will hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the word of God says. I didn't say it. God says it. Well, Jesus says it, actually. It's his own words. You know, anyone ever thought about that kind of stuff? I mean, isn't that part of being good? Isn't it part about actually ministering to our world, the people that we're around about? But usually we don't think about it. Usually it's like, you know, have you taken an Advil? You know, and I might have some Tums in my briefcase here or whatever. You know, and I'm not saying it's okay to take an Advil. It's okay to take Tums. I mean, I've taken both. And, you know, but the fact of the matter is, it's also okay to be nice. It's also okay to care. You know, sometimes I think we live in a day and age where no one really cares. I mean, you know, we care about our own family and our own people. Maybe you care about your other fellow church members, but when it comes to the people on the outside, sometimes we really don't care. You know, in fact, you know, sad to say, I mean, we have Rhema churches all over. I mean, not necessarily Rhema Bible churches, but Rhema grad churches all over United States. And a lot of times in the past, whenever we've had tornadoes come through, and we always ask them, you know, about that situation. And you know, in the past, most of the time they would say, well, you know, thank God that no one in our church was affected. But you know what? Most of them didn't take the opportunity to go out and touch the world around about them. Just because no one in their church was affected, that they didn't go out and touch people who actually could maybe come to their church. I mean, that's another whole aspect is, you know, if you go out and minister to other people, then they're going to maybe want to come and check out, see what your church is all about. But, you know, a lot of times, like I said, we try to cram God down people's throats and they get turned off by it. I mean, you know, the best example I can think about, I can actually think of a few examples, actually, now when I'm thinking about it. But I was thinking about an example back whenever I was been about some of the mid-90s, and actually, believe it or not, I mean, I used to roller skate quite a bit, actually. In fact, when I was a kid, I did double sessions at Skate World, and we actually have a roller skating rink there at our Tulsa campus that was actually next door to our campus as they sold us. And so I worked there as a kid. And so, but anyway, so back in the mid-90s, I was rollerblading in Newport Beach, California. Me and one of my buddies, we were out there at a convention. And so we decided to go rollerblading, you know, catch the fresh air, you know, hang around the beach area. It was having a good old time. And so we rollerbladed for a while. We stopped and got a little drink, and we're sitting down on a bench, and there was a street preacher that was, well, I mean, I'm saying that those terms loosely, street preacher, because I thought it was a street preacher and found out that I don't think he was, well, I didn't hear him preach anything, well, heard him say a few words, but I don't consider it preaching, because when I sat down, I'm like, well, let's see what this guy's going to say. And so all of a sudden, he was talking about the first thing that came out of his mouth that I heard him say was, all you Mormons, you're going to go to hell. And then he talked about somebody else are going to hell. And finally, he hit something else. And then, you know, and all of a sudden, I think he was actually talking about, I think he was saying, all you who believe in Islam, you're going to hell. Now, here's the thing, okay? We can say something, it's a true statement, but not say it in love, all right? Maybe he wasn't saying a false statement, but all he did was make people mad. Eventually, when I think it was talking about Islam, you know, here's something else, too. We got to realize that, you know, there are many different religions in this world. In fact, one thing that they told us, we have a sheet that we actually give everyone who goes to Thailand to minister. One thing that they did tell us was not to say anything bad about Buddha or Buddhism, because even the Christians, you know, they have respect for the people, the Buddhist monks and the people there. And if you actually, I've had opportunity to study a little bit about some other religions, especially Buddhism, Hinduism, and whatever, and you realize that that in this one little study that I did, that they compared and contrasted that a number of teachings that Buddha, you know, from Buddhism, with the Bible, and a lot of the teachings are real similar. Now, unfortunately, they don't believe in Jesus, but they do believe in you know, in good morals, and being good people, and you know, there are a lot of things that are real similar on how they believe. Now, they don't have the right truth, but you realize that most people that believe in these religions, they believe that this is the way. Now, maybe that they're deceived, but the fact of the matter is, you know, they're trying the best that they can they've been enlightened. They feel that this is the way that they can make it toward heaven or whatever. And so for you to tell them differently and tell them they're going to hell whenever, you know, a lot of religions are based upon works. I mean, they're working to make heaven. And you know, it's not about works. It's about Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But many people, you know, they're like, well, I'm trying to do all I can, and you're telling me I'm going to hell. And, you know, we have to understand, and we don't have to necessarily tolerate, but we don't have to make people mad. Making people mad does not really solve anything. Because what happened in this situation was a guy got mad, getting an argument, next thing you know, the police are involved. And so, you know, if you can't preach without the police being involved and keeping people away from beating you up, then that's an issue. All right? But all in all, nobody got saved. A few people, you know, got offended. And, you know, this guy probably does it every day. You know, and this is the biggest issue. This is what really bothers me. Is because me as a minister, as a Christian minister of the gospel, you know, some of these people who hear a preacher like that, they put me in the same category, or they put you in the same category, and that makes us all look bad. You know, because one bozo decides that he's going to, you know, tell everyone they're going to hell. And I'm not saying it's a wrong statement. You know, he was probably making a correct statement, but the fact of the matter is that I never saw Jesus, you know, Jesus always preached out of love. He always, you know, said, you know, Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude that were, you know, that they didn't have a shepherd. They didn't know what to do. You know, and, you know, people in this world are lost. But tell them they're going to go to hell is not going to send them to heaven. You know, the fact of the matter is it just makes people mad. In fact, my grandfather even talks about, you know, even whenever, you know, among other Christians, a lot of times that they have, there's certain things that everyone doesn't believe the same on. And he says, as a younger, you know, minister, I used to debate with all these people. You know, Christians, non-Christians, whatever, I would debate with people. You know, but he said, you know, one day it hit me that every time we debate is that, you know, after it's all done, I believe the way I believe. They believe the way they believe. And we never, it's not like, you know, we come and have a discussion and we change each other's mind. We don't. Debating doesn't really, you know, didn't even help. And he said, you know, a lot of times Christians are fighting each other because, you know, they don't really believe everything the same. You know, in fact, my grandfather said he went to one preacher's convention one time. And they actually had a class in which they were discussing how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. That was the discussion of the class. And, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know how blessed the people were getting out of that, or how anybody really, you know, and I think that's pretty absurd, you know, but the fact of the matter is, especially now, see, they didn't invite me because I know the answer. I you know, I would have came in and gave them the answer, and then they would all got mad because I'm right, because I know I'm right, because I prayed about this for 7 days and seven nights, and the Lord forgave me. No, just kidding. You know, the answer to that question is however many angels want to dance on the head of a pin. That's how many can do that. You know, it's, I don't know. Is it really going to send anybody to heaven or hell? You know, I mean, it's not really helping anybody. And that's the thing about it. Sometimes Christians, you know, fight with each other. You know, I know a lot of times, but, you know, because we believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and some people don't, you know, or, you know, they don't believe, and so they say, well, we can't fellowship with you. You know, that's stupid, as long as, you know, because as long as we believe Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior, we're all going to heaven, and we're going to have to put up with each other for the rest of our lives anyway, so we might as well get along, you know, on the earth. So, you know, arguing doesn't solve anything. And that's why sometimes I've said the best way to witness to people is not shove Jesus down their throat, but just to be nice to them, just to be caring, just to love on them, and, you know, just to, you know, be there to help them. And that's why even when we go and we do tornado cleanup, now we actually have produced a pamphlet called, you know, What to Do After the Storm, and which we talk about a lot of natural things, you know, contact the Red Cross for help, contact, you know, FEMA. We have all these, you know, email addresses and numbers that they can call, and they, you know, contact your insurance company, because a lot of times people go through, I mean, their life has got ripped apart, and they can't think of what to do, all right? And many of these people, unlike you and I, they're not sitting watching the news because they don't have electricity. All right, so, you know, because the news will say, well, you guys, you need to go to such and such a place, and you need to do this and do that, and here's some, you know, email links to call. And, you know, now, of course, you know, up until recently with now, you know, carrying devices now where we can actually email people from our phones, and so it's made it a lot easier because people used to, you know, used to have to wait, you know, because, you know, they can't email anyone. They don't have any power. And so, but now, nowadays you can email people immediately, and that's some of the fastest ways to get a hold of that. But besides the telling of natural things, we talk about spiritual things. We talk about you know how God can take care of that and things like that as well. But for the most part, I mean, we give those brochures, you know, to people, but for the most part, we're not there to win them toward Christ. In fact, I know when we do a tornado clinic a couple of years ago, there was one gentleman who wasn't a Christian. He said he was an atheist, and at first he didn't want us to clean his yard up because he didn't want us to witness to him. But finally he was watching us going around and seeing that we really weren't trying to witness to people. We're just being nice. Finally he said, okay, you guys can come clean my yard up. And he was actually impressed because, you know, most of the time, because he would tell people he's an atheist, that everyone would, you know, just try to win him toward Christ. And, you know, and I understand that, you know, it's because that no one wants to see the guy go to hell. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, it's bothering him. You know, it spoke more wonders to him that we're willing to, you know, to be there with him and help him in spite that he doesn't believe the way we believe. You know, and also it's interesting because, you know, we've had opportunities to work with other groups, you know, that don't believe the way we believe. You know, so I worked with one day, and actually I was not with our team. I was helping another area, and worked with a couple of really nice Mormon guys who were actually there doing tornado cleanup. And, you know, we didn't talk about our differences of our religion or whatever. What we did was we helped carry boards and stuff, and, you know, help clean these people's yard up, because, you know, it wasn't time to talk about our differences. It was time to talk about, you know, what our goals was. That was to help these people in a time of need. You know, and I believe that we have opportunities on a daily basis to help people. I believe we have opportunities on a daily basis to do good. And I believe that, you know, that we, you know, here in the United States of America can also have the same boldness that we might have if we go on a mission trip, if we would just do it. You know, just say, you know what? I can pray for you, and you can get healed if you believe. All you got to do is believe. I mean, you know, we don't have to preach them a sermon. All we have to do is say, hey, do you believe if I pray for you, you're going to get healed? And they will, because they believed. All things are possible to them that believe, as the Bible says that. You know, but too many times, like I said, we're in our own little world, and we're not thinking about the world about us. And when we think about the world, we think about, well, the globe. And it is. I think, you know, I think about the globe all the time, you know, and, you know, the world's a smaller place than it used to be. But, you know, we have the world that we live in, and our neighbors, our loved ones that we're around, you know, and I believe that we should go out and minister to our world. And I believe that God has called us to go out to our world. And I believe the way you can preach the gospel is not preaching the gospel with your lips. It's preaching the, you know, they say the best way to preach the gospel is through your actions a lot of times. People watch you. Do you realize that you might, people say this all the time, you might be the only Jesus anyone ever sees? They judge the Bible. They judge Jesus. They judge, you know, our church and any, you know, based upon how you act. You know, we should think about that. And we live in a day and age of social media, and that's kind of scary as well, because, you know, sometimes people in social media have a, I don't know what happens, and they just decide to you know, rant about something, and, you know, it really puts a black eye to all Christianity a lot of times. I mean, you know, because we have to also realize is when people read our pages, a lot of times they read our pages in light of who they think you are. I mean, just like I obviously know, I mean, social media, I mean, I have the power to put anything I want to on the social media of the ministry. But when I put anything on my own personal social media, I mean, people are going to read that in light of the ministry. So if I say I don't like something or I'm mad about something, people will actually read that in light that the whole ministry is mad about something. They don't read that as Craig's personal, you know, thing. So I don't put things that might not be good for the ministry. There's been many times when there's debates going on, you know, and people are arguing about certain things, and I would like to put an opinion out there, but I don't put an opinion based upon, because I don't want them to, you know, I don't want to make an opinion based upon Rhema Bible Church. I want to make an opinion based upon what Craig thinks, you know, but sometimes I don't do that because I don't want them to, you know, I just don't want to cause an issue. And in fact, that's another thing, too. You know, I don't like a lot of people putting a lot of things on my wall, especially during elections or whatever, because you know what? I have friends, friends on Facebook that are Democrat. I have friends that are Republicans. I have friends that voted for this person and friends that didn't vote for that person. So you know what? But I don't think it really does any good to make. Now, there are sometimes, and in that respect, you know, I have made a few statements, but I don't believe in trashing a candidate. You know, just, you know, I don't believe that, you know, I believe that we can talk about policies that we'd like to see or whatever, but I don't believe it really does any good to trash a certain candidate. And you know, I have an issue with trashing a sitting president. Whether or not I voted for him, I have an issue with that. Because the Bible says to pray for those that have been set, you know, in power, and I know that maybe you don't agree with a lot of the policies of our sitting president, but you know what? You have two things. You can pray for him, and you can, you can vote differently. Now, obviously, the American people voted for a second term, and so, you know, that's what they voted for, and so that's what, you know, we get. I understand. You say, well, in Oklahoma, we didn't vote for him, but that's not the issue. The issue that you know is that you can pray for him, and you can vote differently, or you can run yourself if you want to. If you really feel that bad about it, and then you know you can run yourself next time. So you know, I don't feel like being president. So you know, because Have you ever seen the president when it takes office, and then, you know, especially one that serves 8 years, and then see him 8 years later? In 8 years, that guy, you know, he ages like 25 years in 8 years. So I don't want to be older. I mean, you know, I don't need to age 25 years in the next 8 years of my life. You know, and you think about that, you know, we don't realize, you know, the pressure someone like that's under. I mean, you know, we know half the threats that come against this nation. I mean, we don't you know, realize that the decisions that are made, you know, could cause lives to be lost. Whether it's American lives or whether it's, you know, foreign lives or decisions that are made, you know, not to save or not to send somebody in to try to save someone because we don't want to lose people's lives and it was not worth, you know, the mission. I mean, there's all kinds of issues. You know, the thing about it is we just need to be nicer people. We need to be better people. We need to be more Christ-like. And I believe that we should exemplify, you know, a Christ-like attitude. As a Christian, I think it's our responsibility. And I think a lot of Christians don't take that responsibility. I mean, and a lot of Christians are weird. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. You know, weird meaning, you know, they don't act like normal people. In fact, many people are surprised I'm a minister. And I take that, you know, wholeheartedly. You know, I always like that. I mean, I'm, you know, whenever I've gotten my hair cut before, sometimes when I've been not here in so maybe in a different city or whatever, got my hair cut, you know, and it's interesting, like one particular girl, you know, we started talking a lot before she finally asked what I did, and when as soon as I told her I was a minister, she thought I was joking, she thought I was like a comedian. Because, you know, the first thing that she asked me is when I was in Denver, Colorado, and it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was on a Friday afternoon, and the first question she asked me is, "Well, have you started drinking yet?" I said, "No." I mean, you know, I didn't say why. I just said no because she figured I was on vacation and it's Friday, and you know, and she knows what she would have been doing. So, you know, I just said no. That was my first question. You know, just say no. And so then we started talking. And so, but you know what? Whenever I said no, I am serious. I really am a minister. And then she's like, you know, trying to. You know, I said, well, hey, don't worry about it. But I did ask her. I had opportunity to ask her, you know, if she goes to church, and found out the reason she doesn't go to church is because the church that she went to, they were so busy talking about rules, you know, instead of relationship with Jesus Christ, or, you know, that it really turned her off. And, you know, but, the sad part about it is she said, you know what, Craig, if you had a church here in Denver, I'd go to it. You know, and, you know, the deal is that, so she would go to my church because she liked me as a person, as an individual, because I wasn't here to judge her. You know, and I could have pretty much judged her pretty quickly. And first of all, her hair was like five different colors. And so if I really needed if I wanted my hair colored, it would be good to have her do that because, you know, she was more like punk rockish type looking. I mean, you know, and I could make some pretty quick judgments. And, you know, in fact, I'm for sure she was glad when they legalized marijuana in Colorado. I mean, I'm just, you know, I can make judgments. We can all make judgments. But, you know, a lot of times we make judgments toward people. And because of that, we don't actually reach out to them. We don't get to know them. You know, we don't talk to them because we just think, well, you know, there is no hope for them or whatever reason. But, you know, the fact of the matter, I was just, you know, I think it really struck her that I actually held, you know, conversation with her and let her talk and do whatever. And because I did that, when I did say I was a minister, it really opened up some things for her to talk about, some things in her childhood, some things that she went through and some reasons, you know, why. And I told her, you know what, and I told her, I said, well, the most important thing is accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. I said, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. I said, but it's a whole lot easier to stay on the right track if you do go to church. And, you know, and I gave her some tips and some things, you know, and I planted. The Bible talks about, Paul talks about, you know, sometimes we plant, sometimes we water, and sometimes we get the increase. Sometimes, you know, we're able to, to get them saved or whatever. But, you know, I planted some seed. And, you know, and I actually gave her, told her opportunity. I said, you know, nothing else you can, I mean, time zone's different, but I said, you can watch us online. Watch our church online if you so desire. Or watch us, you know, whatever. So, but you know what? It's okay to be normal. It's okay to go out and reach this world. We do live in a world that there are people that are lost and people that need somebody just to be nice to them. And I tell you what, you know, I mean, God has given me opportunity after opportunity to minister to people because I didn't lead off with you're going to hell. I didn't lead off with you need to change your life. I led off with, you know, hi, I'm Craig. I mean, you know, I don't tell people I'm a minister. That's not the first thing I lead off with, you know, because, you know, the other side about it is I want people to think I'm a nice person. And if you tell people you're a Christian, some of people don't think you're a nice person. People think you're full of hate. I don't hate anyone. I love everyone, you know, because I love God. And if you love God, you have to love everyone because God loves the world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to minister to these fine folks. And we thank you, Father, to help us all understand that we do live in a world that people are lost and dying and going to hell. But Father God, help us understand that we can go out and do good. We can reach our generation. We can reach the world around about us. But help us to be able to just give us some boldness to be able to just be there and be nice to people. Help us to have a better love walk sometimes and to not not have flesh out sometimes and be a great example of Jesus Christ. Father God, we just praise you and we thank you for everything that you've done for us, Father. And Father, we thank you if anyone is here that's not a child of God, doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, that tonight that they'll make him Lord and Savior of their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ and you want to make him your Lord, or maybe you want to come back home, lift your hand. We want to minister to you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven, but I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's you. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. It's for you today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you if anyone is here that's not a child of God. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis, Father. We thank you, Father, that they will come to the saving knowledge of you. And we thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, let's all stand up. Before we leave tonight, is there anyone that's sick in their body and need hands laid on them for healing? Come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. If you're here today and you need prayer for healing, come down here. We want to pray for you. Also, we have a prayer cloth as well down here. And so I want you to reach your hands out towards this prayer cloth. You can go in line of reach your hands out towards us. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God. And Father God, we come against this cancer right now. We thank you, Father, as this cloth is laid upon this individual. We thank you, Father, this cancer has to leave. This cancer has to go. And we thank you for driving out everything that Satan has tried to do to their body. And we thank you, Father, right now in advance for the testimonies we shall hear and we shall know. And we thank you, Father, that there is no distance in the Spirit. And that healing power of God will flow into this cloth and we effect a healing and cure. In Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You that are down here, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. And I'm going to lay my hands up on you. I don't know what I might say, but don't worry about what I say. All I want you to do is say, thank you, Father, that I am healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In the name, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name, the name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus, be healed now. There it is. Hallelujah. For you or for the baby. For her. All right. Father God, we thank you for this precious little one. And we just thank you, Father, right now for the healing power of God touching her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We just thank you, Father, for just healing her, for just touching her like never before. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for her life. And we thank you just to fulfill that plan and that purpose. And we just give you the glory, honor, and power. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I also want you to continue to keep mom in your prayers. Like I said, she did break her ankle. If anyone want to know how she did it shopping. So don't shop. You might break an ankle. Actually, what happened was she was shopping in Branson, actually, and she stepped back and on the little display thing or whatever it had, there was like a wooden a little edge or whatever. She stepped on that edge, and when she did, it caused her foot to crumble, and she fell, and she broke her ankle in a couple of places. And so she had it in a splint, and the splint was bothering her. So because it said it was actually bothering her more than the break itself. And then so she had they put it in a cast, and then the cast was bothering her. So then now she took it back and they put it in another splint. She said, this one feels a lot better. So the insurance company wouldn't pay for it, so I had to pay for it myself. But you know what? It feels better. So it's a little more expensive. But she goes, you know, it was worth it. So praise God for good insurance. Actually, and if someone's seen her pictures, she actually has this little cart thing that she puts her knee on. And she can scoot around or whatever, so because she don't have walking cast. But continue to believe with us, and it's been really tough for her. I know it's she tends to be real quick, and she don't like anything slowing her down. The cool thing about this cart thing is you can actually move pretty fast. So I know this week ministering is gonna be a little bit different. It's a little bit different, all right. Whenever. You can't maneuver like you're used to. Amen. So continue to believe God, with her. Have something you need to share? Okay, we have some. All right. Got somebody else that came for healing, one of our youth. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Reach your hands out toward her. Father God, we just thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your healing power working in her body to effect a healing and a cure. And we thank you, Father, for just touching her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here, and make sure this gets back to whoever, needs it. The way we dismiss around here is they'll sing a song. I'll head back to this door over here to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door over there. You can go out that door. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.